Welcome to SEC Unfiltered, home of the best SEC content on the internet. The following is brought to you by our friends over at Prize Picks. Go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks is the simplest fantasy game on the market, focused around prop total entries. You pick 2 to 6 players, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. Prize Picks has no sharks, optimizers, or mass multi-entry guys. It's literally just you against the projection. They also allow mixed sport entry. So, for example, you can take the over on LeBron, parlay with the under on Mahomes. They've got college sports, pro sports, literally anything and everything you can think of. They have got it over at Prize Picks. They also have a slick, easy-to-use mobile app, both on the App Store and Google Play. They're rated 4.8 stars in the App Store with rave reviews as well. Guys, so many fans and listeners of SEC Unfiltered have made tons of money with our friends at Prize Picks, and you should as well. So again, go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Be sure to check them out and tell them that Chris from SEC Unfiltered sent you. Let's get it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
He's the host of Rafine and on Leave Network. He's also, I think, like the greatest long snapper in the history of Rhode Island football.
That's not true. I have to. I don't mean to cut you off already. There's a current my guy Donato Crisanti. He's gonna play in the NFL, so I can't take that away from him. But I was a Rhode Island long snapper. You're right about that part.
Joe DeLeon joins the show, SEC Unfiltered. Guys, make sure that you hit the subscribe button and the notification bell. That way, you don't miss a single episode of SEC Unfiltered. Follow me on my own YouTube channel at Mr. Cole Thompson, at Mr. Cole Thompson on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter, wherever we are, TikTok, Instagram, everywhere these days, social media at SEC Unfiltered. And for the number one content covering everything in the number one conference in all of college athletics, please go visit secunfiltered.com. Joe, wonderful offseason we have so far going in this year. What is your biggest takeaway so far of the SEC?
Man, I think the biggest thing is just how the whole new expanded playoff and how everything's going to play in. And I think that it sounds super vague to open, but the fact that we're in this new position now where Alabama, we don't know how they're going to be in 2024. This is going to be a year where they're either one of those 12 teams that gets in, or they could very well be one of those teams that's sitting on the outside looking in. But I think that for this new format coming in, there is obviously a lot of attention going to it, but I feel like we're not really talking enough about how there's going to be so many different faces in the SEC coming in that are going to be potentially fighting for those playoff spots.
Well, the crazy part is also not only is Alabama going to be fighting for it, Texas and Oklahoma are joining in the conference. Everyone knows that. I think honestly, Oklahoma's getting slept on a little bit at this point when it comes to how we view them compared to Texas. You know, every single year we talk about Texas being back, not back, we know that. And Oklahoma, still, they get 10-2 last year. They bring back Billy Bowman. They bring back Danny Stutzman. They added in a couple of good players, I think, for the transfer portal. I don't like Jackson Arnold in the sense of let's go ahead and place his entire career off one game that he wasn't prepared for. Alabama gets brand new head coach. Mississippi State adds Jeff Lebby. Mike Elko's coming back to College Station. So in the SEC, do you feel like if they get snubbed playoff spots, let's just say next year they get three teams instead of four. Is that starting the conversation to potentially lead the NCAA and create a super league as we talk about?
Well, I think that that conversation is just so complicated that we could obviously expand that so much further than just the playoff being a reasoning for them to not want to be a part of it. But I think that what you just brought up there of them, you know, being snubbed per se was what I was going to bring up. That was what I was leading into, not really knowing what the face of the SEC is going to be like in 2024 and which teams get in. I really believe in 2024. There's not going to be as many in the Big Ten and the SEC, as many 10-win-plus teams as I think everybody expects. I think that the level of competition in both of those conferences is so high now that we've added to the Big Ten, Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA, and then Texas and Oklahoma, and we've got all these ascending programs that typically aren't good, like Missouri and Ole Miss. I really think that we'd be lucky to have two teams that are better than 10 wins. And I think that there is going to be a lot of 9-win programs that could be eating themselves up throughout this process of picking those final spots for the playoff. And whether that could be a team like Oklahoma you're talking about, or I think Auburn is a team that is, if Peyton Thorne can just make some improvements.
You know, actually learn to throw the football every once in a while.
Well, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I know. It's asking a lot of the guy. But I like Auburn is a team that deserves a little bit more love. And you know, Texas is probably going to be one of those 10-win teams, and Ole Miss, Missouri going to be 10-win teams. But I just think there's so many options in the middle pack there that they could end up tearing themselves down, as we always see.
Well, the problem is that when you have a 9-3 team, it usually shows the strength of schedule and the competition in the conference. But the voters don't care about that. They see 10 wins. They see 11 wins. They say, okay, you were the best in your conference. We're going to go ahead and sink into the playoff, which is why it's so frustrating because of every year we have these conversations. What would an ACC school be if they played in the Big Ten? I mean, if they play in the SEC. So, like, can you say like a 9-3 Tennessee would not own the ACC every single year with the level of competition?
Well, yes. I think that's like a really, really good example to bring up that this upcoming year's Tennessee team, James Pierce Jr., Nico Iamaivea, who are coming, you know, going to be potential stars to both of them, they would run the ACC. They would be right up there with Florida State and probably would be fighting for that ACC championship spot. But that all goes in line with what I'm talking about here, where I don't think the committee is very good at judging an 8-win SEC or even a Big Ten team.
Yeah.
And really understanding that an 8-win SEC team is going to be better than a 10-win Big 12 team or a 10-win ACC team. And I think that there's a potential that we have a couple SEC programs that get snubbed.
Let me get your thoughts on Auburn. They really crushed it on an early signing period. The way they were able to flip all these kids, top 10 finish. They have talent. They have talent on the roster. I like Jarquez. I like what they have at the wide receiver room coming back. I love that they were able to go ahead and add in Cam Williams. I think that they're in a really good spot. What is the expectation in year two on the Q-Freeze?
I think for the fact that he was able to get 6 regular season wins and to literally what they did against Alabama, I don't think enough people – everyone always leans on the, oh, it's at Auburn, it's at home, and it's the Iron Bowl. A lot of people lean on that too much. What they did to keep that game close is pretty nuts that they almost pulled out that win and obviously should have. But I think the expectation should be 8 wins. I think it's realistic too. I don't think their schedule is terribly difficult. I'm more focused on year 3, and I think year 3 is where, you know, everything just starts to really come together. The reason why I'm so optimistic is I look at the way that they were in the running in the transfer portal for all of the top guys.
Yeah.
All I heard was They're going after Cam Ward, which didn't work out. They were apparently really close to getting Caden Salter, the Liberty quarterback, and he ends up deciding to go back, which that one's an easy plug and play because it's like
how do you not Hugh Freeze coached him?
Yeah. But the other one, too, that there were people I heard from, a couple different people that were saying that they thought Quinshon Judkins was going to end up there. And all of that, to me, just signifies not only are they able to have those conversations and for these elite prospects to treat them seriously and to have these convos that people are starting these rumors, but on top of it, that there was even just consideration and that they have the investment and the money willing to spend on those elite players. So I think with that recruiting class you just brought up, as they're going into year two, they're probably going to have a really good portal haul as everything just converges, and they could be really, really good in 2025.
People don't understand that having that SEC knowledge of working at Ole Miss is going to do wonders for you.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Freeze, because if he understands the recruiting ground, he understands the level. And I think Auburn's the toughest shop in America. I've said it for years because of you every season are getting compared to Alabama and Georgia. They're always on your schedule. You're in the heartbed when it comes to recruiting. I think he's in a good spot. I think a person not in a good spot is Billy Napier. And unfortunately, I do have to ask, do you think that he just took the biggest number two on Greg Sankey's desk for the schedule? Because of it is literally the toughest schedule I've ever seen in college football.
Well, I mean, they're supposed to historically be a good football program. And regardless of how talented they are on any given year, they're such a well-represented brand that they should have to play a schedule like this. They should have to play some of the tougher, not the toughest, but some of the tougher opponents in the conference because – you want eyeballs,
right?
You know, Sankey wants to, and the scheduling, broadcasting partners, they want to have Florida. Cause even when Florida's bad, like we saw how much people tuned in when they played Utah and when they played Tennessee and they pulled out that upset that they had early on in the season, them playing big games is important. But I just think that like our perception on how hard the schedule is a lot because of the fact that they're not ready.
Right.
If they had a good team, it'd be like, oh, this is going to be difficult, but they could through.
Nobody would complain.
Like if it was Ole Miss, it'd be like, this is a little hard, but they could find a way through it. But no, it's because they're a S show right now. They can't, you know, they can't figure anything out.
I mean, they didn't lose DJ, so that's good. They may lose DJ when Billy Napier is fired at the end of the year, but you know, never say never on that one. Joe DeLeon right here, joining us on SEC Unfiltered. Let me ask you. I love the transfer portal. I've always thought that it is the biggest blessing in college football. Ben Yusuric going to Georgia is going to be a cheat code, I think, for Athens. Who is your favorite transfer so far in the SEC?
I mean, you just brought up the guy. Benjamin Yurasek is – I've heard of a lot of different pronunciations for him, by the way. I think it's Yurasek.
I think it might be Yurasek.
Yurasek is what you said. Yeah. I think that that's close. But I'm going to go with Yurasek. But – he was somebody who coming into this season, I had a top 50 grade on. He was tight end two for me coming into the season, and he goes back. He decides to return to school and enter the portal. I don't see a reason why he and Oscar Delp and in that whole tight end room, why he can't ascend and take the next step. And I think I tweeted something along the lines of like saying, like, this is the Walmart version of Brock Bowers, but he does a lot of things similarly athletically.
Right.
And he's ferocious too. Like, he's not a bad blocker either. So I think that if he doesn't end up playing that secondary role and he gets the primary role, which he should, being the senior, the more veteran player in the group, I really think he's going to just open eyes for a lot of programs around the country this year.
You add in Trevor Etienne, you add in a ton of wide receiver talent. You still have Ra-Ra Thomas. You still have Oscar Delp on the roster. You still have Dylan Bell, who is going to be, I think, a cheat code.
Yes.
The same way Zachariah Branch could be at USC. But still, you're Surik, however you say his last name, whatever he is, it just feels like you get Carson Beck as many weapons as possible, and they're pissed as hell that they lost one game to Alabama, and that is like literally the one thing that's going to separate them from the pack.
And that was, we all watched it this year. That was what held them back, was the fact that they, injuries, obviously, you know, not having a Amarius Mims for periods of the year was impactful, but like not having depth at receiver and depth at running back. I'm blanking on what was that one running back who had like cash or like money was his name. He was the the white kid, but I forget what his name was, but he had a funny name. And like the fact that we had to go that far down the depth chart to that kid and he was taking carries shows how they were just hurting for depth. And Colby Young is another player too, the Miami receiver, who big body. I think he's a really good athlete. He was somebody who I saw enter the portal and I'm like, no sourcing or anything. I was like, if he ended up at Georgia, that'd be really cool. Like, that would be like a really underrated steal.
It's one of those things where you hear a name and you're just like, don't go there. And then it's like, ah, crap. Now it's happening.
Are you anti-Georgia? Is that what
No, I'm Bama-grad, so I'm supposed to hate on Georgia.
Are you actually?
I'm
Bama-grad.
I didn't know that.
So I'm
supposed to hate Georgia. Georgia hates us for some reason. Right, it's a better rivalry than the Tennessee has in the last decade. So, you know, it's going to be that way moving forward. Speaking of Alabama, let's actually talk about them. They still have four or five stars, top three recruiting class the last 2 years on this roster coming back. They have an offensive innovator in Kalen DeBoer. He's been able to get exceptional play from quarterback. What should be the actual expectation this year?
I mean, if you get to 9 wins, I think that's realistic. We were just talking about Florida's schedule. They have a tough schedule too.
It's week 3, Madison. I honestly think it's going to be something that you have to watch for.
I don't think they're going to lose to Wisconsin.
I don't think they're going to lose, but I think it's going to be.
Yeah,
I think it's going to
be an eye opener.
I think it's going to be South Florida 2.0, where it's down it's down to the wire, and then you're like, oh boy, now we got to figure some stuff out.
I'm really, what leaves me really questioning what they're going to do is Jalen Milroe.
Yeah.
I mean, more specifically, I don't know what to expect with Sheridan being the offensive coordinator. I really thought that Shepard, the wide receivers coach, should have been the guy. Purely just off of the fact that, like, the success that the receivers at Washington had this past year. And I've heard a lot of positive things about Shepard, but I just don't know, is this going to be similar to what Ryan Grubb produced? I compared it to, it felt like Jared Parker, who was at Notre Dame this past year. They ran out of options. They didn't have a big budget. And they're just like, okay, Jared, go ahead. You can call the plays, dude. And it went horribly. And like, I'm a little worried that that's going to happen here, where we have this high expectations of Kalen DeBoer, elite offensive mind. And, you know, we're resting in the hands of a guy who really hasn't called plays for very long.
And the crazy part is that, you know, just going back to Jared Parker, congratulations on getting the Troy job. I'm sorry that you got a downgrade from John Summerall. It's like the worst feeling of all time, but still.
He could be a good head coach. He's not a good play caller.
No, he's a terrible play caller, but if you were able to still get great, exceptional play from Jalen Milroe, let's just say he somewhat emulates Michael Penix Jr., these wide receivers come out and they end up being really well. I would really like Jermaine Bernard from Washington that came over from Michigan State.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a good punt returner. I think he'd be a good number three receiver. If you have that, let's just say you go 9-3. At that point, is still Alabama in that conversation of they can be a place that lands premier talent. They can be a place that can recruit extremely well. Because everyone had this conversation about Brian Kelly. And then immediately, within a year, takes him to the SEC championship.
Well, the thing that's different with Brian Kelly, and I don't send my co-host Blake this because he's going to – I hate it when I prove him right. Me and him go to war every single day. But
you want to talk Rudy Poo real fast?
Right. Rudy Poo is the term that he loves to use. I will never admit to him but I agree with him on a lot of things about Brian Kelly, but I will never admit on the show. But you saw, I think, a real intent with recruiting the second that he stepped in the door. Yeah. And everybody's making fun of him for doing the stupid dances and stuff with those recruits. But, like, you still saw him recruiting. Like, you really, really started to see LSU in conversations for kids, like, way more than they were under Orgeron. And that was how I knew it was going to work. And then the thing that he took this next step is, we're going to keep all the kids in the state of Louisiana, all, even if they're not five stars, we're going to recruit them and we're going to get them. And that has created a desire where all these four stars are signing. And now all the five stars are like, okay, I want in on this. Yeah. You know, I want to play with my boys. I want to play with the guys that I go to the camps with. I want the guys that play high school ball with. I don't really know if Alabama has that same level of recruiting hotbed. There's obviously amazing recruits that come out of there, but it's just not the same as Louisiana that I think that one Kalen DeBoer can do that. But it's been really slow.
Yeah.
Like, he's been really slow. I think it was hard for him to come in and have to basically re-recruit the previous signing class. And that's a waste of time.
Yeah.
But I want to say right now they're like 50th, which for 2025, way too early. But typically Alabama is usually like close to signing a couple five stars, close to being in there. And remove the Alabama part for a second. They're always, all the top teams that finish top in the recruiting classes are usually starting somewhere in that top 20 range in that, and they're in the conversation for a lot of five stars. I just don't see that right now from Kalen DeBoer. And that's, I know he can coach.
Yeah.
Like, I know he's going to get the coaching part down, but I fear that the support staff that he built is just, it's not what I thought it was going
to
be.
It's not at the level to where you think it can be, but I do think that there is something about, if he's able to land one major recruit that starts doing the recruiting, like Ryan Williams being able to come back as a five-star plus talent.
Yes.
If he can get those type of guys to come in and start building an identity, other kids are going to follow suit. And that, I think, is the main thing that probably is what you're looking for. Last one for you before we get on out of here.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Ole Miss last year get 11 wins. We saw Missouri get 11 wins. Both of them were probably thinking eight wins, nine-win teams. If you were to have money on the line right now, one breakout team in 2024 SEC. Who's it?
I think it's Tennessee.
Yeah.
I think there's two reasons for that. Not a crazy hard schedule, which like, I feel like a lot of the SEC teams fall in that bucket, but Nico Iamaleava, which I apologize if I'm mispronouncing that. I know that.
I'll say Iamaleava, Iamaleava, whatever it is at this point. Everyone has a pronunciation.
Right. I know Tennessee fans are very protective of him. So, like, I, again, apologize if I'm mispronouncing that. But Nico is so unbelievably gifted, and I'm just stunned that Heupel did not start the kid sooner.
Yeah.
Like, we watched him in the Iowa game, and that's against a really well-coached Iowa defense.
Like, you don't want to talk negatively about Jackson Arnold, but also you don't want to overhype Nico Iamaleava. But at the same time, it's Phil Parker's defense.
Right.
And you scored three touchdowns on them.
Right. The other part of this, too, I really believe that James Pierce Jr. is on a trajectory to be the best defensive player in the SEC, potentially, now that Caleb Downs is done.
Yeah.
He's gone and he's moved on to the Big Ten. I really think that there is a world where they could, or he could end up being that best defensive player. And I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't end up being the first edge off the board in 2025. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but elite talent, good coaching, strong offensive line play, all of that checks all the boxes that if there was that random pop-up team, which sounds hilarious to bring them up because 2 years ago they were the random pop-up team and they took a step back and, you know, here they come again.
So, the only thing I will say is that I believe in Nico. I really love the wide receiver that they brought in from Tulane this offseason. I think that he is going to be an excellent fit opposite of Brew McCoy.
Mm.
Why the heck? Like, can you imagine this offense the last 2 years with transfer quarterbacks underneath Heupel, and they were averaging 45 points a game?
Mm-hmm.
This is the guy that he recruited personally.
Right.
I mean, well, they should be averaging 50-plus points a game if Nico is the guy that he's supposed to be.
Yeah, and I think the better, actually, way of putting this, yes, if they average those numbers, like, they're going to be amazing. And I think that what makes Heupel dangerous, which they didn't have the first time with Hendon Hooker, is they didn't have the defensive talent. They didn't have the secondary, and they're really starting to improve, which is why I'm like actually starting to – they should be considered more as a threat. But if they were able to win some of the games that they did with Joe Milton, who is a tight end, Like, let's be honest with ourselves. That is a tight end playing quarterback.
He is not supposed to be in the NFL as a quarterback at all.
I think he could be Logan Thomas. I think he could be a phenomenal tight end in the NFL, but that's a separate point.
Yeah, we can get that later.
But a guy who couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, who had no touch, if that guy was playing quarterback for you and you were still able to win the amount of games that you did, imagine if you get somebody who's a little bit more honed in and a little bit more natural.
Yeah.
I don't need him to throw for 50 touchdowns, 40 touchdowns. If he throws for 25 and I get 3,000 yards out of him and they run the ball the way that they did this past year, I know that they're getting, you know, new backs now that Jalen Wright's gone. That's all they need if the defense plays as good as they did.
One exceptional defensive play per game, they're going to win 11+. Yeah. They're going to be in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
He's Joe DeLeon. I'm Cole Thompson, SEC Unfiltered. Make sure that you download the podcast wherever you get your podcast listening systems, iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music. Make sure that you follow us on social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, SEC Unfiltered. Follow Joe DeLeon and Blake, and I mean the Ruffino and Joe show on Believe Network. Joe DeLeon, at Joe DeLeon, right?
Yes, at Joe DeLeon, at Believe Network
as well. Believe Network as well. Make sure that you check them out. They have in
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Incredible conversations. Yes. This man has the patience of literally a sloth because if he has to deal with Fino nonstop.
I love Blake.
everyone loves Blake.
I don't mean to cut you off. The funniest thing last night when I ran into you, you were like, I forget what you asked me, but you asked me something where the perception that like me and him don't get along. And the first thing out of my mouth is like, I love Blake. And I said this to Chris when I went on Chris's show. I was like, It's like First Take. It's like Undisputed, where they go at each other for 2 hours, but like we're so close, like we're like really close friends, like we love each other.
Make sure that you follow them, Ruffino and Joe show on Believe Network. Make sure that you continue to subscribe to us over here. I'm Cole Thompson from the NFL Scouting Combine. He's Joe DeLeon. Until next time, folks. Later.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.